You know, as a church, we only have 40 minutes. I've got 40 minutes to talk to you about different things, you know? And as a pastor, I pray. And so I want to get everything we can. Obviously, we have a YouTube channel full of archived messages. Same with iTunes. You can go look us up on podcasts, all that good stuff. So I don't get to always talk about all the topics that we want to talk about. I have this much time allotted on a Sunday morning. So a lot of times something will hit and be like, man, I wish our church knew more about this or whatever, you know. And sometimes we're in the middle of a message series and I'll pray about it. And I'll be like, I want to talk about this. But we're in the middle of a message series and I need to talk about this too. And there's just so much to talk about. So that's the reason why I look forward to being able to have multiple services in the evening and then Wednesday nights and all that kind of stuff to be able to talk more about certain topics and expand and all that good stuff. So this morning, because this is Thanksgiving week, it just happens to be that this all kind of falls together. But I thought, what should we be thankful for? We should be thankful for salvation. Yeah. And so let's talk about salvation. So let's do an in-depth teaching this morning on salvation so you understand salvation. I think that's so important and apparent that a lot of folks really are unaware of really what it means to be saved. So let's talk about it. What's the greatest chapter? What's the greatest verse, chapter, verse that we all are familiar with? Tim Tebow made it famous. That was a joke, everybody. Tim Tebow did not make it famous, people. John 3:16, right? John 3:16, let's do it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That scripture right there, you could study all day long, so you should study that all day long. Today, go home and study it. Every single word, you should break it down and study out that. We look at it as just a scripture that comes and goes in our brain. We see it often. Yeah, we know John 3:16, but do you know John 3:16? It's so important. You know, many people have mistakenly thought that the goal of salvation is just the forgiveness of sin so that they can avoid hell. But it's deeper than that. It's more than that, and it's always been. And even in John 3:16, it's not what it's saying. It's not just saying forgiveness of sin. It's not just saying that you can avoid hell. It's eternal life and everlasting life. That's what it's all about. And what's so great is that Jesus accomplished this by paying the debt for all of our sins, past, present, and even the ones we haven't committed yet. Jesus has done this. So if that's all there is to salvation, that's great. We can preach a message on salvation is just the forgiveness of sins and avoiding hell. But we would be doing an injustice if that's all we taught about. There is more to this. There's so much, much more. And so let me say it this way. If all you did was ask Jesus to forgive your sins so you wouldn't perish in hell, then you would be walking around with half your senses. So you'd be half blind. You'd be half deaf. You would be half of everything. Okay? So imagine that. So walk around like this, right? You can only taste on half of your mouth. You'd be like, hey, you could say, well, I can still see. I can still hear. I can still taste. But wouldn't it be a little miserable when you know that you're able to see with both of your eyes? You're able to taste with your entire mouth, right? From a person who has half his teeth on one side of his mouth, it's not fun to only chew on one side. Let me just tell you that right now. I'm missing half the teeth on this side of my mouth. You don't know that, do you? Because you can only see these. But this side, gone. All I do is chew on this side. It's miserable. It's miserable. You don't want to do that. So why would you want to walk around with half knowledge of what eternal life is all about? No one would. So sin was that barrier that stood between us and God. So it was the barrier, and so it had to be removed, and that's exactly what Jesus did. Jesus removed that barrier, and he did it well. So sin is no longer standing between God and man. So in 2 Corinthians 5:17, that's what it says. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That barrier has been broken. Now God sees us as the new creation that we are. So get this. So in John 3:16, we talked about eternal life. Well, in John 17:3, Jesus defines eternal life. So here we go. And this is eternal life, that we may know you, the only true God and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. This is John praying. This is Jesus praying. Jesus is committing himself to the call that was placed upon his life to bear all sickness, all disease, all sin onto his shoulders. So he's praying, committing himself and saying that I'm doing all of this, God. He's saying, I'm doing all of this. Why? So they can have eternal life, that they may know you. That is salvation, is to know him. That's what it's all about. So in salvation, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. Now I'm going to read three verses here that are going to really encompass what salvation is all about. Just in three verses, okay? So first verse is 1 Corinthians 1, 18. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. So if you have your Bibles and you want to journal it or you want to write down, highlight, whatever it is, but what you need to realize here in 1 Corinthians 1:18, and we're talking in the present tense. So are being saved, all right? Then in 1 Corinthians 3:15, if anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. This is future tense, that will be saved, okay? And then we see in Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace you have been saved. All right, this is past tense, through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So here we see, there. And what's great about Ephesians 2:8-9, let's hang on that for just a second, is that there will be no boasting in heaven. So it's not like you're walking in there going, I declare that I got here all by myself. You didn't. No one's going to walk around and be like, I did it. You should never do this. It's not a, I did it. It's an understanding that he did it. And how do you come to that understanding? Because you know him.
That's right.
Yeah. When you know him, you realize, mm-mm. You will be in heaven because of the grace of God.
That's right.
There's a pastor, this is his quote, and I love this quote, so good. He said this, success caused me to think God used me because I was good. Failure has taught me that God uses me because he is good. Let me read that one more time. Success caused me to think God used me because I was good. How often do we think that? We think, oh, I must be really good because things are going right and God loves me. God's smoothing out the path before me because I'm so good. But then you realize that failure has taught me that God uses me because he is good. He is good. It's not me being good. It's not me being bad. It's neither. It's just that he is good. And that he is my father. And you know him and you can go to him. And that's what salvation is all about. So, as we just read, we've got the past tense. We've got the present tense. We've got the future tense. We have it all right there in front of us, right? So you may want to know, and the question really is are you being saved? Or will you be saved? Or have you been saved? So you guys want me to answer that. So let me do it. You guys ready? So let me ask it again. Are you being saved, or will you be saved, or have you been saved? Yes. I just solved one of the most important questions ever issued to mankind. Right? I did it, and with one word, and it's so awesome. Yes. Because you will be saved, and you are being saved, if you've been saved. It's so important. We are triune beings, okay? We are body, soul, and spirit. Our bodies will be saved in the resurrection. The perfect body in heaven, right? We're all very familiar with this, right? You think you look good now? Just wait. Just wait, right? Some of us, I want teeth. I can't wait to get to heaven and be like, I got teeth! I got teeth! My wife's like, why did you just do that on stage? I know her. She's so grossed out by teeth. But our bodies will be saved in resurrection. So we're very familiar with this. It's so great. Our souls, right, which is our mind, our will, right, our emotions, are being saved.
Amen.
We can agree to this.
Because
those are the things we fight with the most, our thoughts, our mind, right? And there's a lot of times we're like, why am I thinking like that? You know, someone cut you off? Somebody do something bad to you at work? Family members mean? Your first notion is to act out, right? So you are being saved. You are being saved. There's moments right there. That's the grace. It's the movement of grace inside your life. You realize it. But our souls are being transformed or renewed in the mind of Christ. So our souls are being renewed daily. It's just great. It's just so good. And so all of this to say that okay, let me say this, by the way. Before I get to spirit, I want to say this. In the Greek word of saved, it's sozo. Now, it's spelled S-O-Z-O, but it's sounded out as S-O-D-E-Z-O, sozo. And it is a completion, okay? So to be saved is, in, if you really want to get technical, it's being made perfect, okay? So sozo is a being perfected. And it's an inclusion to be made whole of body, soul, and spirit. Okay, so being saved is everything. It's a completedness. So with your spirit, our spirits have been saved if you've accepted what Jesus did on the cross for you.
That's right.
Okay, our spirits have been saved. And that goes back to what Jesus did in John 3:16. This is where the disconnect comes from the world. You guys, a lot of Christians aren't really aware of this and they want to discount it, but you have to realize that Jesus did what? He saved the whole world.
Yeah, that's right.
He came, God gave his only begotten son to the what? To the world.
Yeah.
To the whole world. So technically right now, the whole world is saved, but only if they accept that.
Right.
If only they receive that. They have to have that notion. That's why, being that we are God created, we were given a free will. And that's a great thing. We've been given a will to say yes and no. And so we have to choose this moment to say, yes, I want to receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and personal Savior. And so in doing so, so your spirits have been saved. Why? Because, well, God knew us before, while we were in our mother's womb. Guys, we've been around. Our spirits have been saved. So this is great. So you've got to accept that. You have to understand that he paid the full price for your sins. So I've got a bunch of points here. Point number one, okay? It's all about salvation. Here's my points. First point is this. Salvation is a gift. Salvation is a gift. And this is super important. It's not a goal to achieve.
Right.
Americans are the worst at it. Because we're so stinking competitive, right? It's all about competition. Even my own children yesterday, my daughter who's turning into sassy little six-year-old, right? She looks at one of my children. I can't remember. I got so many. But she looked at one of the brothers and goes, it's all about competition. That's what she said yesterday. Right? She said it to me? She should have gotten grounded. I'm a horrible father. I don't have the time. I listen to everything my kids say. Half the time I don't. I'm just like, nonsense. All right, sweet. I love you. You're so precious. All right, anyway. But it's not a goal to achieve. It's a gift. Can you imagine that I give you something and then I look at you and say, you need to do something for me? I was in Chicago one time and this guy was walking down the streets, right? Me and my friends. And he goes, hey, free shoe shine, free shoe shine. And we were like, we don't have shoes that you could shine. I got sneakers on, right? My friend had suede boots, like these suede looking boots on. And my other friend had sneakers too. He's like, free shoe shine, man, free shoe shine. For you know it, he got down on his knees in front of my friend with the suede boots. And was like, free shoe shine. He starts spraying stuff on the suede boots. You don't do that, right? And then he starts trying to buff it out and do all this stuff. And then he stands up and he goes, free shoe shine. And we said, man, we told you we didn't want a free shoe shine and we don't have any cash. All we've got credit card. He goes, you can't get no free shoe shine with credit card. Hold on. That doesn't compute to my brain. You can't get no free shoe shine with no credit card. I guarantee you now, they probably do give free shoe shines with credit cards. They probably have square readers. You can just swipe it on my phone right here if you want to. If you want a free shoe shine, you can take your credit card out. But it's that notion to think that nothing's free. So it's hard for us to accept this. But the gift is free. And I love it. Romans 11:6. And if by grace, then it is no longer of works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. But if it is of works, it is no longer grace. Otherwise, work is no longer work. That's no free shoe shine, no credit cards. That's what he's saying here. He's saying it's like, it's free. It's free. Second point, it's eternal life. Salvation is eternal life. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. 1 John 2:25, and this is the promise that he has promised us, eternal life. 1 John 5:13, these things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. So when does eternal life start? When does eternal life start? When you die to self.
That's right.
When you realize it's no longer about me. It's no longer about my needs. It's no longer a fear and worry and doubt. It's when that every step that you take, every move that you make, right, every word that comes out of your mouth, everything, you go to the Father first. He takes control of your life. Not in a way of, this is the problem with the world, that they have this mindset that they just basically come drones to what God's telling them to do. And you realize very quickly that when you do this, that's why the scripture says that it's foolishness to the world, right? It's foolishness. That anyone who wants to get, it's 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. They don't realize that this is not you becoming just a drone to what God's doing. You realize it's the best thing for your life. When you give your life over to Him, you realize this is the best. It's what I was designed for. It's what I was made for. It all comes to a completion where you're not aimlessly walking around anymore. You're not having this void that's heavy on your chest where you're sitting there going, I know there's more. The more is not more of the world. It's more of God. That emptiness that you feel is more of God. It's like, I want this. I want this. I want this presence. So that's what it's all about. The next point, it's forgiveness. Salvation is forgiveness. Acts 13:38. Therefore, let it be known to you, brethren, that through this man is preached to you the forgiveness of sins. Jeremiah 31:34. For I will forgive their iniquity and their sin. I will remember no more. So, let me stop right there. That's the other thing. When you go to heaven, there's not going to be this. This is where Hollywood has messed all of us up. We believe there's a man standing at the gate with a filing cabinet. And there's a filing cabinet that's, let's say it's black. And then you got a filing, or let's say it's red, black, like flames. Let's give it some creativity here. Red and black. And then this one just is white, pure, almost see-through. And it's like he pulls out both drawers and looks up your name. And then he finds it. And then it's like he weighs it out. And there's these scales in front of him. And it's like, more good or more bad? And it's like, all right, I only did so many bad things versus all the good things. No. That's hogwash. Right? It doesn't make sense. That actually combats against Jeremiah 31, 34. For I will forgive their iniquity and their sin. I will remember sometimes. No. I will keep a fact check on you. Right? I will put it in a filing cabinet and some ominous man will stand there and will have to judge you. No. It's I will remember no more.
Right?
When I walk up to the gates of heaven. I have no idea what it's going to look like, kind of, because of Revelation, but I still don't have like a real giant picture of it, and I don't know how it's going to be. I don't know who's going to greet me at the door, all right? I don't know who it is. I don't know if all the disciples will be there like cheering. I don't know if there will be angels. I assume there will be angels, but there's like, you don't know, but you've got to get it out of your head that there's like this trap door. Like, get it out of your brain.
That's right.
That you don't walk up to the gate and you're like, this is so good. And then it's like, ah, and you start falling. No more! No more! Psalm 103:12. As far as the east is from the west, measure that, please. Measure that. I have no idea. So far has he removed our transgressions from us. It's gone. It's gone. This is a Thanksgiving week here, people. This is a rejoicing moment to go, my sins, no more. You know, I don't need to sit there. I don't need to think about it. I've done some dumb things, people. We've all done some dumb things. Some of you, guys, the reason why I'm not in jail, because I didn't get caught. Right? I've done some stupid things. Right? There's a lot of us in here that have done some dumb things. And praise you, Jesus. It's gone. All right? It's gone. The next point is justification. It's justification because Jesus paid for it. When I accept that, I'm free from sin. When I accept that Jesus paid for this, this justification, I'm done. When I accept that and I realize Jesus paid for my sin, I'm done. So in Romans 3:24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So what I just said, the scripture there, basically saying Jesus paid for it. And when I accept that, I'm free from sin. Amen. He paid for it. So Galatians 2:16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. There was no way that in the Old Testament that they could ever actually fulfill the law. Even these Pharisees were walking around all high and mighty thinking they could do it. But they weren't able to. They were never going to be able to. That's why it was so important for Jesus Christ to come. So important. So it's beautiful. It's so beautiful to see this redemption. It's so beautiful. You always play the game where someone's like, hey, if you could live in any time and era, what time would you want to live in? Right? And then my wife's like, she's like one of these weird castle-y princess people. Regency, that's the name. Yeah, I'm like, no ideas. She's like, I love Regency books and movies. And I'm like, like Robin Hood, right? It's like she loves Robin Hood. She loves those types of things. I'm going to tell you right now, guys, if you ask me this question, what time I want to live in, it'd be now. Now. Right now. I love now. Now's great. Right? Why? Because I'm not dying at 20. Right? I'm not have Oregon Trail. Remember that game? Right? I'm not dying by a snake bite. Right? There's like all sorts of things. I'm so thankful I live in now. But the most thankful part of this is that I live in a day and era where the message of Jesus Christ is real. That I live now. That I am saved. And that Jesus Christ paid that for me. I have been justified. I love this. It's justification. So the next point is, it's righteousness. Right? Not self-righteous. Right? It's not self-righteous. That's the opposite of being humble. Right? It's righteousness. It's being in right standing with God. That when we go up to heaven and we're in front of God, we are in right standing with him. That he's blotted out, Jesus has blotted out our sin. So when God looks at us, we are white as snow, pure. He doesn't see. That's the barrier that's been broken. He doesn't see that sin, right? Why? Because we've been covered. We've been covered by the blood of Jesus. Romans 4:3. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. So when you believe the things of God, when you understand the things of God, when you know your relationship with God, it is accounted to him for righteousness. So all of my sin, all of your sin that was in my account, that was in your account, was put in Jesus' account. All right? All of that. So everything you've done, anything you've done, what you're about to do, guess what? It was put in an account, in Jesus' account, and he paid for it. And that's hard for you to comprehend. Because, again, you feel the necessity to want to make things right. you have to understand, it's all been put in his account. It's all been put in his account. No matter how many leaves you try to rake at your neighbor's house. Now, should we still do those things? Absolutely. Why? Because we're Christians. We should love our neighbors. We should do these types of community acts of service. We should feed the hungry. We should do these things. We should take care of our people. Absolutely, we should do all of this. Those are just mandates of being what? The greatest commandment is love.
That's right.
It's just being a Christian. But it doesn't pay for your sin.
Right.
All right? It doesn't pay for your sin. Jesus paid for your sin. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So again, the whole world sins, all the world's sins, has been put into Jesus' account. All of them in his account. So every person's sins have been paid for, but they're not all saved. Because why? Because you have to believe and accept Jesus as your Savior. You have to believe that Jesus paid for these sins. A lot of people don't know that. They don't realize that. They just look at it as like, it's me, and they try to cover it up with weird other religious words like karma, right? And that's nonsense. That's not biblical. They try to cover it up with all sorts of different salad bar religions. I'll take this, I'll take this, I'll take that. And they don't realize they're wrong. They're wrong. So Jesus, in going to him, he takes care of all your sins. The next point is, it's redemption. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 19 through 20, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. This is that coming of knowing. All right, here I am. I'm being redeemed. Because why? Because Adam and Eve, they fell in the Garden of Eden, the fall of man. They let sin come into their life, and they handed over the keys to life and death, over the kingdom, to what? Satan. And so Satan took it, and now he controls this world that we live in. So life and death are now there. All right? So then, with that sin that crept in, we now live in this fallen world. Even though we've all been saved, we still live in this world. Now you have to give the lordship over to Jesus.
Right.
It's now, so it's like just taking the fruit off the tree now and saying, all right, God, I want your fruit. I want to be a bearer of your fruit.
Right.
I want you to be my Lord and Savior. All right?
Yeah.
I want to accept that you are Lord over my life and that you are my Savior. You have redeemed me. I have been redeemed. This is redemption. You've been paid for. And like again, you have a will. And with that will, you have this choice now to make and say, he's in charge of my life. He's in charge of me. So therefore, it's not sometimes he's in charge of me. It's all the time.
Right.
It's waking up in the morning and saying, all the time, he is in charge of me.
Right.
All right, God, what is it today?
Yeah.
What is it tomorrow? What am I doing with my money?
Yeah.
What am I doing with my whole life?
Because
my whole life is saved. My whole life, the whole thing. Not just part, not just points of it, but all of it.
Right.
Your career, your family, your life, your marriage, your friends. God's in charge of all of it. So you're asking yourself, God, and there are times where it's difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Some of you girlfriends out here and some of you boyfriends, I'm just going to use you as an example. Maybe you're not with the right person. And it's not because God put you together. It's because you made a choice. And now the question is, did you make that choice with God? If you didn't make that choice with God, you could be on a really rough path ahead of you. But now if you know that that God put you in this position, because you've been praying and this spouse lines up to the vision that you've laid out, then great. It's going to be an awesome marriage. Is still work. You still have to work at it. It's leaving and cleaving. You're cleaving. Okay? So you're cleaving. You're leaving from your parents and you're cleaving to your spouse. There's going to be a lot of cleaving that takes place. There's going to be a lot of forces that try to divide that cleaving.
Yes.
And you got to work on that. But I got to tell you, it's a much harder battle if you're with someone you shouldn't be with.
That's right.
So what's difficult when we talk about the redemption power of Jesus Christ is that you've got to realize that you've been redeemed from the curse, all right? Redeemed from that curse. Now you've got to learn how to live in the blessing. And living in the blessing is going to the Father with every aspect of your life.
Right.
Not just some, all of it.
Right.
Every aspect. So if you don't, then yes, there are going to be days where the Holy Spirit goes, it pierces you. He goes, you got to dump them. I don't want to dump them. But I love them. It's because you begin to cleave to them. I love them. Yeah, but they're not the right person for you. Oh, so then you want to get mad and angry, but yet if you go back to the root of it, did you live a life of redemption when you chose them?
Yeah.
You've been redeemed. Now act in it.
That's right.
Now act like it. Everything. Your job. Some of you may need to quit. Now don't you walk in there and be, my pastor told me yesterday, quit. I'm out. No, I didn't. I'm teaching you this morning that you need to go to the Father with everything in your life. Every aspect. That's why it's so funny when pastors, churches talk about money, people get all up in arms about it. The only people that ever get up in arms about it is the ones who, their money's not redeemed. Right? It's the only people that ever get upset. I only heard two people. They're proving my point here. All of you in this room, if your finances were truly redeemed, everyone in this room would be like, that's right! Amen, Pastor! But only two of you in this room are like, that's right. You get all mad at me all you want. But that's why pastors are taught, they talk about your finances because they know how big of a stronghold that is.
Yeah, right.
But when you recognize, God, what do you have for me in my finances?
Yeah.
And you start going God's way of finances, you recognize real quick, man, that was the right decision. You stop making dumb mistakes.
Right.
Redemption. Yeah. Redemption, act in it. I don't want to say the last point just yet, but I want to read one scripture and then I'll read the last point. Luke 6:46. And that way you guys can guess what the next point is. But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? Because the last point is, it's complete commitment. It's complete commitment. Jesus must be the Lord of your life.
Yes.
Matthew 7:21-23. Not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. On judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and performed many miracles in your name. But I will reply, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's laws. Who's saying this? Who is saying I did all of this. I did all these things. I prophesied in your name. I cast out demons in your name. Are these atheists? No, it's the church. It's the church saying these things. The church is saying, so he's saying, I never knew you. I never knew you. Now, when you hear this, I never knew you, this is where the great debate comes in with salvation. This is where I get so frustrated about this. Because people pick a side, and they're so hard-bent on it that it actually hurts you because you're so hard-bent on it. I never knew you. So people will say, see, that proves that you can lose your salvation. You can lose your salvation. I never knew. But actually, it proves the opposite. He said he never knew you. We never met. He never knew you, never met. You've never been saved. Right? Therefore, you aren't being saved. You won't be saved because you haven't had the past tense experience yet. This is what it's saying. You have never been saved. This is hard, because this is where the salvation, it's like once saved, always saved, right? Can I backslide? I love how people want to pick a side to this. They want a hard press on it. So let me just get to the one last point that I already mentioned, and that's this. Total commitment. I'm talking to you and you alone. I'm not talking to your neighbor beside you. I'm talking to you. Talking to you, talking to you, talking to you, talking to you, talking to you. People want to get on this big soapbox of a debate. Once saved, always saved. Can we backslide? Or what does the scripture say? Guys, I'm going to tell you right now. The scriptures on both sides. You can find scriptures to debate both sides. All right? And at the very end of the day, people are going to say, well, let's just agree to disagree. There's scriptures on both sides. And my scripture for this, out of these Matthew, out of Luke 6 and Matthew 7, 21, and as your pastor, my concern, and that's why I want to preach about it this morning and teach about it, is that all I care about is you. I care about my church, because guess what? Me, out of all of you in this room, guess who gets judged a little differently? This guy. I was called to be a pastor in the eighth grade. And I remember a good friend of mine, older than mine, and I told them about it. And I said, I don't know if I want to be a pastor, because I knew that the words that come out of my mouth are judged heavier. It says this, that my life's a little different. So that's why I take this morning to want to preach about salvation. That's why I told you in the very beginning, I wish that I could preach more and teach more, because I want to make sure that you guys are in a position of fullness and wholeness. Saved. I want to keep you with the mindset of understanding the gospel and what your purpose is, because the enemy wants to come in and he wants to kill, steal, and destroy, right? He wants to kill, steal, and destroy. He's like a roaring lion. There's so many different, you know, picture type of words that come out of the Bible for you to realize. And you go, oh man, I need to stay committed. I need to be committed. My life is redeemed. I'm not going to be the pastor who stands up here and wants to debate of whether or not you've been saved. Once saved, always saved. All I care about is you being saved. Are you totally committed to what God has for you specifically? The Vincents. Are you saved? You don't have to answer. It's rhetorical. But are you saved? That's all I care about. All right? Now, and then being saved, guess what I want to do as your pastor? I want to give you every tool that I can in the Word of God, that I pray each and every week and every month, where I go, God, I want you to, Lord, download onto me all the things that they need to know so that they can do what they've been called to do. So I want to be that filter, but that voice for them. And what happens is, because they're saved, right? Because they're saved at their house and in their prayer time, in their cars, at their work, with their kids, that they are already talking to Jesus, right? They're talking, they're just, the Holy Spirit's dumping stuff on them, and then all I'm doing is just confirming what they've already been told. That's all it is. That's all that they can go back and go, did you hear that today? Oh my gosh! You know how many times I hear that at the end of the service? And when I hear it, it gives me so much joy because I go, my people are saved. They hear God. They hear from God. They hear it. They're doing it. They're at home and they're living that lifestyle of complete total commitment. Of God, I'm yours. You're mine. Whatever you want. And they're seeking after that. And so when I'm speaking out this word, it just speaks to them. And they go, man, that was good. That was good. That's exactly what I needed to hear. Because I don't want to get into this debate. Hebrew 9 says it this. Hebrews 9, the whole chapter, he puts it this way. There's a covenant. There's a covenant, and it's not in force until both people die. Well, Jesus already died. Now, I'm not talking about your physical death. I'm talking about your death to self. That you die to self. And when you die to self, that it's not about you anymore, and Jesus already died, guess what? That, my friend, is the covenant. It's the covenant that's made that you're saved. When you recognize, I'm done, no more. Yeah. So, how do you know you're really saved? Because that's the question. How do you know you're really saved? When you've died to self. When every step of your life, you're seeking after God. Everything is surrounded by God. Everything that comes out of your mouth is God-given words. Everything that you think about is God-given and directed. Everything that consumes you, surrounds you, it's God-given. That you don't make a move until God tells you something. Right? You don't stop. You don't just sit there and be like, well, I just flip a coin. You can't flip a coin. All right? It's seeking after His face and it's saying, God, what do you have for me? It's total commitment. It's all about Him. Now, some of you say, but if you believe. If you believe. See, that's the other side about this. And it's the sad side of this, because they say, if you just believe. So then you got people who come to church and they just say, well, I believe in Jesus Christ. And then they just sit there and they don't give anything over to God. Then what happens is they've lost sight of the fact that there's a devil who he believes. Oh, he believes in Jesus. When he tried to tempt Jesus, he knew. He recognized. Now, he doesn't know what God's doing. He doesn't know what God's doing. But he recognized, oh, Jesus, this is something. So he tried to trip Jesus up. And so in trying to trip Jesus up, he realized, oh, this is the Savior. This is the Savior. I can't trip him up. Satan believes, but he won't submit his will to the Lordship of Christ. He won't do it. Because that's what he was trying to take away from Christ when he was tempting him. He was trying to take away his Lordship. So we have to recognize this. Who's in charge of your life? So if I ask the question, how do you know if you're really saved? Then the next question is, who's in charge of your life? And if you can answer that question, that in every aspect of your life, total commitment, that you understand righteousness, justification, redemption, that it's a gift. If you understand all of this, and you're totally committed to this, then you're saved. You're saved. If you have any doubt, if you have any doubt in your brain right now, I'm going to ask the band to come up. If you have any doubt in your brain right now, if you say, I don't know if I'm saved, then let's get it done today. All right? Let's get it done right now. It is my job as your pastor to say, let's get it done right now. So you cannot walk out of here today and be like, you know, I just don't know about Jesus. No one's really told me. I just told you all about salvation. There's no questions about this. You're done. Okay, so this is it. We're finished. You have the opportunity to be saved this morning, right now. So don't walk out of here and be like, I don't know. You can never say that again. I just ruined it for you. All right, so don't walk out of here. So before I ask the call of salvation, before I ask you to I want to pray with you. I want to read a scripture. In asking people to come down to pray with them, the purpose of asking people to come down to pray with you is that today, God wants to give you everything.
Yes.
See, it's a gift. He wants to give you everything. It's a conundrum almost for some people's brains, because you're like, I thought I'm giving everything. You are. You're dying to self. You're giving everything over to Him. But in turn, He gives you everything. Everything that you could ever imagine. Everything that void is gone. The heartache, the hiccups, the fear, the doubt, the pain you're living in. All of these things, gone.
Yes.
Gone. And the truth of the matter is, are we a church that believes in healing? Yes. We believe in healing. We believe that you can be healed. We believe that the sickness, disease got to go. But at the end of the day, guess what, guys? You will die. Someday you will die. And that's very morbid and hard for some of us to really comprehend. But someday you will die. Even though, yes, we do believe in healing. We do believe in the healing power of the blood of Jesus Christ. But in a day, you will die. And you need to ask yourself this question. Have I given it all to Him? Have I given myself over to Him? I love this scripture, 1 Corinthians 2:9. However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love Him. He has something for you. And it's a love that's greater than you've ever anticipated or expected. So this morning, I want us all to bow our heads. I want you to ask that question. Do you know Him?